So let's go back to Krishna Kund. Where we saw, and then just a little while ago we heard, the Mor Kutir significance, Man Kutir significance, two of the four heads of Lord Brahma are four main hills of Varsana. And then we walked through the Gabarvan forest. There are different indications that I've heard of what Gabarvan forest signifies. One of them is caves. In that area, in addition to the forest, there are many caves, or at least there were many caves during Krishna's time. And so, Gabarvan forest. Forest where there are many caves. And then we walked up that very nice pathway, heading for Dan Gar, the third hill, on top of which, that's parrots. Who are these people assembled down here? No, the parrots are wondering about us. There's a lot of them. Birds up in the tree, sitting below the birds up in the tree. Cover your heads. So, two pastimes. The one that's most familiar or commonly known at Dan Bihari, the deity, Radha Dan Bihari, is very similar as we discussed at Unchagaon. And that is a brahmana that had three daughters, and being in anxiety how he would make a proper arrangement for their marriage because he was so poor. And thinking and thinking, he thought, Nanda Maharaj, he's the king, and a brahmana seeking charity from a king, maybe he will help me. Then he thought of the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's the son of a rich man, and if I approach the son of the rich man, maybe I'll get some help so I can take care of my daughter's marriage. So he approached Krishna. Please help me. Krishna said, my father has all the wealth, and there's only one thing that I possess that's worth anything, and that's Radharani. So I give you Radharani. And Radharani was standing right there. And the man was very distressed. No. Because you've spoken, now it has to happen. You've given me Radharani, and now I have four daughters to marry. How will I manage things? Doesn't solve my problem, it increases my problem. So Krishna said, it was all a trick to honor Srimati Radharani. So you saw that big archway, that they used that for Julan Yatra. The deities come off the altar, they put the deities on the swing, and then they swing the deities back and forth for the whole period of Julan Yatra. But also was used as a place where Krishna established a balance scale. He put Radharani, you've seen the painting, very nice. Radharani's on one side of the pan scale, and all the gopis placed all their jewelry and ornaments and gold and whatever valuables they had on the other side of the pan scale, until it equaled Radharani's weight. She's worth her weight in gold. So the brahmana was very happy. Radharani was being honored in such a way, she was very happy. And Krishna enjoyed that wonderful pastime at Dhangar or Dhan Kutir, and the deity Dhan Bihari is worshipped in that mood. There's another tax pastime, believe it or not, that took place at Dhan Bihari or Dhangar. And this time it was Krishna and his little friend Subal. And Krishna and Subal were standing right on the path where Radharani was at least the pretext to she was going to Suryakund to worship Suryadev. So she had many valuable items to carry for the worship of Suryadev. You know, Satrajit, he was offering very, very valuable things to the sun god, and the sun god was very pleased and gave him the Shamantaka jewel. So he likes valuables. So Radharani was carrying many valuables, and Krishna and Subal stopped Radharani and Lalita and Vishakha and said, stop, where do you think you're going? You're passing by this path on a regular basis carrying so many valuables, and you're never paying any tax. You can't proceed until you pay tax. So this time it wasn't but milk products, it was other valuables. Radharani said, what do you mean pact? You've never paid any tax. That don't talk like that. I'm the tax collector and I'm telling you, you must pay tax. And then Vishakha stood forward and said, who are you to ask for a tax? We're servants of Srimati Radharani Vrishabhanu Nandini, the queen of Vrindavan. And you're imposing or presenting yourself as if you're a tax collector. You should be punished because she's the queen and any tax should be going to her and not be taken from her. And Krishna said, well, hold on just a minute. The king in this area is Kandarpa. And Kandarpa has sent me here to make sure that you pay tax. And if you don't pay tax, then I'll have to arrest you and take you before Kandarpa, and you'll have to suffer whatever punishment Kandarpa decides. Lalita stepped forward. Oh, we know about your Kandarpa. Just the sidelong glances of Srimati Radharani melts the heart of Kandarpa. She's Madan Mohan Mohini. Get out of our way. We're passing through. Lalita. That's leftist Lalita. So they started moving. And Krishna and Subal resisted. And all of a sudden, because the Leela had reached such a stage, they all laughed. And they just enjoyed some other pastime following that. It was all in fun, in other words. Now sometimes it seems like they really mean it, and then they follow through on it, and then there's retaliation and retaliation for the retaliation. Sometimes it's just for fun and that's it. So Radha and Krishna, for the rest of the afternoon, they enjoyed pastimes together. The way it's described is Kishore Kishori enjoyed pastimes together for the rest of the afternoon. And that pastime took place at Dhangar. And then we continued walking along the peaks of Varsana until we reached the Jaipur temple. We didn't go inside, but there are very nice deities of Radha and Krishna inside. And just as you heard as we were passing, every place is Radhe, Radhe. This is the land of Radharani. So we can expect everyone to say, Jai Radhe, Shri Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Because it's the land of Radharani. And then we entered what's known as the Sriji temple. And the deities are known as Narali Lal. And the Radharani that's on the altar, we mentioned this when we were at Unchagaon, Narayan Bhatta Goswami, he established these, he found the deity appeared in a dream. Apparently this is one of the deities that Vajranab established long ago, during just after Krishna's departure from this world. And the deity had been lost, but Narayan Bhatt established that, installed the deity on top of the hill, and the generations of his followers over the years have been continuing the worship. His descendants are continuing to initiate the people who are carrying on the worship. When we went to the samadhi of Narayan Bhatt, one of the men there who maintained the samadhi pointed to two other areas. There were the two sons of Narayan Bhatt, and that place where we were sitting, apparently they don't have the same concern for the queen, or his wife, but the wife of Narayan Bhatt. So he was a grihastha. Unlike the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, he was a grihastha, and his line following him are maintaining the worship of the deity up on top of Arsana. And where we are right now is another very, very special place, something the mood of which is similar to Radha Kund, in the sense that the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna, but yet the love for Krishna, of Krishna for Radharani, are deposited here in this Prem Sarovar. And the history of the place, we're on the road that's between Varsana and Nandagram. We're headed in that direction, about 1 mile north of Varsana. So sometimes Radha and Krishna would come here, and they would sit on these areas extending out into the Kund, and they were with their friends, Krishna with some cowherd boys and Radharani with some gopis, and they were enjoying each other's association. Radharani had a very, very special garland, fragrant garland, and very large bumblebee was buzzing around the garland of Srimati Radharani, and she was a little nervous, brushing the bee away, and the bee wouldn't go away. So Krishna turned to Madhumangal and said, "Madhumangal, see if you can remove this bee." He said, "Oh, I know some special bee mantras. I can get rid of the bee." So Madhumangal did his thing, and the bee went away. And when the bee went away, he came back and informed Krishna and Radharani, "Madhusudana has gone." So Madhu means many different things. Madhu can mean bee, Madhu can mean honey, Madhu can mean the source of the honey. So he was indicating, his intention was to indicate that the bee is now gone. But when Radharani heard Madhusudana is gone, she thought, "Oh no, Krishna's gone. Krishna, Madhusudana, the killer of the Madhu demon, is gone." And just entering very, very deeply into that mood that Krishna has gone, she burst into tears of separation. And deeper she went into the mood, and Krishna was sitting right next to her, seeing this intense feeling of love of Radharani for him. And as he saw that love, he tried to remind her, "Radharani, I'm right here. It's Krishna. I'm with you. I'm by your side. Please don't cry." But she was unable to hear Krishna's words because her mood of separation was so strong. And the intensity of the mood of love of Radharani was such that Krishna also entered into the same mood. "Just see how much love that Radharani has for me. How much feeling of separation she has just to hear that I'm not here, even though I'm here." So he also began to cry, tears of love. expressing his love for Radharani. And they cried so profusely that the kund began filled with their tears. So in this way it's called Prem Sarovar. Very much like Radha Kund is invested with the intense love of Radha for Krishna, and for that reason Radha Kund. Or when we visited in the southern end of Govardhan Hill, the Apsara Kund, if you remember, after the Rasa dance at Chandra Sarovar, along the side of Govardhan Hill, some distance from Govardhan Hill, on the western side, they went to the southern side, where they bathed, and they deposited their transcendental love for Krishna. Now, these descriptions of depositing their love for Krishna in a kund isn't just a euphemism. One who, in fact, bathes at Radha Kund can experience, or even sprinkle some water. Maybe some of you, when we were passing by Radha Kund, went down those steps and managed to sprinkle some Radha Kund water on your head, signifying taking the mercy of Srimati Radharani upon your head. So, similarly at this kund, the combined love of Radha for Krishna and Krishna for Radha is presented here. It's not a euphemism or some exaggeration. The love of Radha for Krishna and the love of Krishna for Radha are invested in this place. And just being here, I've been here a number of times in the past, and each time I come here, the feeling is, this is very close to the spiritual world, or entrance into the spiritual world seems very accessible. Now it's a little difficult when they're having loudspeakers and all those other things, because otherwise this is a very peaceful place, normally. But it's a busy season. Tomorrow is the last day of Kartik, the full moon day at the end of Kartik has lots of celebration. It's a weekend, so people from all over the place are here in Vrindavan, and here also at Varsana, but all over Vrindavan, it's very crowded, many people coming. So it's not as peaceful as I'm used to. But the spiritual significance of Prem Sarovar is very, very nice. This Rupa Goswami's language that you read in Nectar Devotion, there's a term called Prema Vaichitra. Prema Vaichitra is a state where Radha and Krishna, in this case, are, although they're side by side, there's a conflicting emotion that they are separated, even they're side by side. It's a state of madness and love, a transcendental madness and love, prema vaichitra. It's not, it can't be imitated and it can't be understood by a mundane mind. But the intensity of love of Radha for Krishna is so strong that even the thought of separation from Krishna is too much to bear. And that was exhibited here at Prem Sarovar. Even Krishna was, just as the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is for Krishna himself to experience the length and breadth and depth of Radharani's love for him, because he experienced externally how much love she had for him, and that made him experience ecstatic emotion and crying in love for Radharani. It's a key this pastime here is a key for us to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, to experience that happiness of Radha's love for him, to experience the qualities in him that she alone can relish. Because as the saying goes, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You've heard that saying before. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. When the beautiful object is Krishna, how does Radharani experience the qualities of Krishna? How do they stimulate her ecstatic love? How does she appreciate his smile, or his flute playing, or his little pranks, and his clever words, and all of the activities that Krishna performs? How does Radharani experience those things? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to experience what Radharani experiences, and so Krishna manifested himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very deep mystery. Very deep mystery. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an expansion of Krishna or partial expansion of Krishna or anything like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, experiencing the love of Radha as she has love for Krishna, to fulfill or make complete that desire of Krishna. Very, very profound, very, very deep mystery. And we're invited into that realm of Lord Chaitanya's gift to the world, of as he is tasting and experiencing, we're being invited into that realm also. And the primary means for us to do that is through the chanting of Krishna's holy name, and the primary instructions that we have from Lord Chaitanya how to take up the chanting of the holy name are found in the very deep Shikshastakam verses, certainly worth our careful scrutiny and trying to enter into the meaning and the mystery of how to chant the holy name in such a way that that stage of love of God awakens in us also. Coming to such a place as Prem Sarovar is a great opportunity. Along with our regular chanting, we've gone out of our way to come here to Vrindavan Dham, specifically for today, to Varsana and the area around Varsana, the land, the region of Vrindavan that's especially focused upon Srimati Radharani, so we can offer our prayers here to Srimati Radharani and her associates, that they may give us their blessings, their mercy, so that our hearts may also become pure and free from other attractions and distractions, and become fixed progressively more and more in our dormant, natural, pure love for Krishna. We have a long way to go. But the mercy of such personalities is what we require, along with a sincere desire on our part to reach that state. The means is there with the chanting of the holy name. We require mercy from elevated personalities to reach that condition, so we can offer our prayers here in that way. Hare Krishna.